not, take your Bibles and turn to 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings and chapter 13. I'll begin reading in verse 14. 2 Kings chapter 13, beginning in verse 14. Elisha was one of the greatest prophets of Israel. We know that his predecessor was Elijah. Elijah went up in a whirlwind. He went up in a chariot of fire. He was translated. He didn't experience death. You know, sometimes preachers say, well, everybody dies. You know, it's 100 for 100. But actually, there's two in the Bible that escaped death. Actually, three. Two of them were translated. One of them came through it victoriously. But Elisha was sick. Actually, it says in this particular verse that he had fallen sick of the sickness which would bring about his demise. You know, one of these times we're going to get sick and we're going to die. If the Lord tarries his coming, one time or another, one of these sicknesses is going to get us. And this was the sickness that was going to take Elisha's life. And he was very ill, very weak. The king came and visited him. King Joash. Well, let's just read starting in verse 14. It says, now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him, and wept over his face, and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said unto the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hand upon the king's hand. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. And Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. And the arrow of deliverance from Syria. Now, at this particular time, they were oppressed by the Assyrians. Israel, of course, the 10 tribes of the north made up of Israel proper. They were called and they were referenced most of the time after Jeroboam's splitting of the people of Israel. They were known as the Northern Kingdom. They refused to remove the groves, groves in Samaria. They were at odds with God, and God had brought a chastening upon them by the Assyrian army. And so he was describing or explaining that this shooting of this arrow represented that they would have victory over the Syrians. So he says, the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. And he said, take the arrows. Okay, so we get the scene here. There are several commands that are given by Elisha to the king of Israel. The king of Israel followed them exactly to the T. Elisha put his hand upon him. He shot this arrow out the eastern window towards Syria. And he said, this is symbolic. This is a prophetical symbol of Israel's victory of deliverance over Syria. Now he tells the king, he says, now take up all the rest of the bows, or all the rest of the arrows. He had a bow and arrow there, and he said, take up all the rest of the arrows. And he took them, verse 18. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. He took the arrows, he hit them three times, and he stopped. Notice the response of this sick, weary prophet, one on the verge of death. I'm not sure what kind of illness he had. He could have cancer, he could have had a heart condition, he could have had a lung problem, he may have gotten a MRSA or one of these other infections. It doesn't say, but he was very weak. But he still had concern for the people of Israel. He still had concern for his nation. His concern, his desire to see them prosper had not diminished, even in his old age. And the man of God was, look at verse 19, was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten five or six times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. And Elisha died. This illustration I want to use tonight with respect to our continual progressive efforts in the cause of Jesus Christ. This was a symbol of his character, of the character of the king Joash. Actually, I think that it was a task that represented his enthusiasm or his zeal or his faith or his desire to see the people of Israel victorious over their oppressors. You might remember during the youth weekend, Brother Aaron Hood, he preached a sermon from the 127th Psalm, where in that psalm it begins, you know, with respect to if we build a house, we have to build it with the Lord's help. How can we build a house unless we have His aid and His strength? And toward the end of that psalm, it talks about arrows in the hand of a mighty man. And Brother Aaron, in his sermon, he made reference to those arrows representing various things. Actually, it says in that particular passage that those arrows represent children. They represent our descendants. They represent the next generation. Verse 4 says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Tonight I want us to think about just for a moment the arrows in our hand. What do we have in our hand? Now, they could represent many things. They could represent our home. They could represent us as being a husband or represent us as being a wife. They could represent us seeking some kind of employment or an occupation. They could represent our finances. They could represent a variety of different things with respect to our life. I do know this, that if we live our lives successfully, we're going to have the hand of God on us. Just as Elisha laid his hand upon him as he shot that arrow, if we have any kind of victory in our lives, we need God present. We need Him helping us and guiding us. I was thinking about, in preparation of this message, Tiffany. She's become this connoisseur of coupons. Now, when she lived at my house and she was spending my money, I never seen her once use a coupon. But now that she's got to spend her own money and Derek's money, she's searching for coupons. She's robbing them. She's stealing them. She goes to grandma's house. You know, if she looks through your paper, you may better look out. Your coupons may be missing. But she's searching for coupons. You know, she's become very energetic. And she comes and she tells us of all the money that she saved, how that she's doubled up on toothpaste and deodorant. She'll buy one, get one free. And it's quite amazing the amount of money that she saves by collecting coupons and using coupons. And you know what she's doing there? She's putting forth an enthusiastic, zealous effort to be financially sound by saving money. And she's doing it through the resources of coupons. You know, what is our aspirations tonight? What are our aspirations? What are we actually seeking to accomplish with our life? And how diligent are we in it? How much effort are we putting forth? Are we giving our very best? I think Elisha was somewhat disgusted with the king. He saw that he was not very diligent. He wasn't going to be very zealous. He really wasn't going to put forth a great deal of effort. Actually, he had lost perhaps some of his enthusiasm and some of his zeals. Listen, we need to maintain our tenacity in the work of God. We need to be zealous. What if I should hand you tonight arrows that represented the work that you're going to do in the future to aid the cause of Jesus Christ? What if I gave you the arrows and they represented the cause of Victory Missionary Baptist Church of the future? And I said, beat on the ground, demonstrate to me, show me just how zealous and how much effort you're going to put in working for God. How much effort are you going to put into the cause of Jesus Christ? What kind of display would you show tonight? Would you have a divine frenzy showing the eagerness to advance the cause? And what about the talents? What about the gifts that God has given you? Are you going to use those diligently? Are you going to put forth an earnest effort? If the arrows were to represent the gifts that God has given us here at this church, because we know that as it's taught in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, that the Lord ascended upon high and He gave gifts unto men. Actually, the Bible says that He gave gifts unto His church. Listen, we can have gifts, but if we don't exercise some energy and some effort in those gifts, they could leave us. They could depart from us. How devoted are we going to be? How committed are we going to be to Jesus Christ and His cause? How much enthusiasm would you display, or are you displaying tonight toward advancing His cause? I don't believe it's the time to back up or back down, do you? I feel like that we need to aggressively and zealously move forward. If you were to hand your children, let's not say arrows, let's say a handful of pencils, and you say, show me how diligently you're going to keep yourself pure till you get married. And they said, and you said, no, beat on the ground and show me. Show me the kind of energy, the kind of diligence you're going to show in keeping yourself as a virgin until you get married. And they went, I tell you what, you'd be giving them a talking to. Wouldn't you? That's what happened in this instance. This was the people of God. This was the work of God. And Elisha was dying, and he was going to die. And the king, Joash, was to be in charge and in control. And he was concerned about the progress of the people of Israel, the preservation of the people of Israel. Well, I don't know if you realize or not, but we need to not limit the Holy One of Israel. There's things that can be accomplished through this church and through the cause of Jesus Christ. As we read in Psalms 78 and verse 41, where it says, limit not the Holy One of Israel. We need to have a diligent faith. We need to display to the world that we have faith in Jesus Christ. Your kids need to see the kind of diligence and the kind of effort that will show them and teach them that the work of God is important to you. Amen. This lack of enthusiasm causes a result of the lack of victory. Isn't that what Elisha said? Because you only took those arrows and struck three times, you're not going to have the same degree of success and victory that you would have had you been diligent and just smote on the ground over and over and over again these arrows. He said, because you only smote thrice, you're only going to have three victories. Listen, we need to be diligent in showing the world that we're serious about the work of God. Show them that we're diligent about moving forward with the cause of Jesus Christ. Listen, you know, we have not many times because we ask not. I still contend that we will reap what we sow. Now, I realize that things are not going to be turned around by one single message. You need to realize that. I realize that things are not going to be turned around by one single effort. It's not. It's not going to be changed by one single service unless the Lord just comes down in a mighty way. It's going to take effort on our part. And that's what Elisha was teaching King Joash, is that effort and diligent effort was going to be necessary in order for them to have victory. Listen, we need to have the diligence of Jacob. We need to lay hold of that angel and say, I'm not letting go until you bless me. I'm not going to let go. And we need to wrestle with the things of God. We need to be like David when his son was sick. Remember what he did? He got on his face. He wept bitterly. He cried. He stayed there with his face in the dirt until the child was dead, until there was no more reason for him to be down there praying and crying and fasting and weeping. It was already too late. God would not hear his prayer. But David was diligently praying and seeking the favor of God until there was no more life in the child. That kind of diligence needs to be displayed and demonstrated in our churches. If you had the arrows in your hand and they represented your faith in God or your love for God, or your love for His church, if they represented your confidence in the promises of God, and they are, I believe, arrows of deliverance, the church has arrows of deliverance. The gospel of Jesus Christ. How diligent are we going to be about preaching the gospel? How diligent are we going to be about getting the message out? How diligent are we going to be about preserving and keeping the faith? How diligent are we going to be about being spiritual? How diligent are we going to be in prayer, in meditation? How much effort are you really going to put into reading the Word of God? How much effort are you going to put into witnessing and telling people about Jesus? Most people, they're tapping but thrice. And it upsets the Lord to see the lack of enthusiasm. We need to plan for success. We need to be diligent. We don't need to let up. We need to stand steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We need to have great expectations in what God can do for us. We don't need to limit the Holy One of Israel. I don't care how many giants are in Canaan, and that's where that 78th Psalm actually stems from. I don't care how many giants are over there in the land of Canaan. Our God, if He has promised us that land, it's ours. We need to go over. We need to take it. Not say... You know what they actually did? You read there in the 14th, I think it's 14th chapter of Numbers. They wanted to appoint somebody else instead of Moses. They wanted a new commander, wanted to go back to Egypt, wanted to go back into bondage, didn't want to cross over into the promised land. They were afraid. They heard the spies, and the spies told them of all the big giants and all the problems and all the nations of the Canaanites that were over there, mighty men of war and so forth, and they became afraid. Listen, we don't need to fear the victory that's before us. Victory, church, has been promised victory in the future. God said that He would be with us. He would help us. But there's going to have to be some effort on our part. We're going to have to remain enthusiastic. We're going to have to remain zealous in the work of God. We're going to have to remain committed to the cause of Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. There's a lot of different things that cause us to be sidetracked. There's a lot of things that cause us to just only tap three times. One of the things that might have been causing him to do that is found in verse 7. Do you realize that Israel was down to only 10 chariots? 10 chariots! The Bible says not only 10 chariots, they only had 50 horsemen. The Bible says they only had 10,000 footmen. They were just a small group. Listen, little is much when God is in it. If God is with us, one can chase 1,000. Perhaps we get... We lose our enthusiasm because of a lack of strength, a lack of people. But listen, God can use a small effort. You might say that you don't have the ability to do a certain things. But if you will commit yourself to it, if you'll consider what the Proverbs teaches about the ant. Remember when I preached on the power of the Proverbs? How industrious he was, how energetic he was, how much diligence he had. I've seen people in my life that didn't have a stitch of talent, but they committed themselves to something that they were dedicated to, and they wanted to learn, and they wanted to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ with this ability, and God helped them, and they grew as they diligently pursued those things. I believe these kids, if they want to play the piano, you need to take them and give them lessons. I saw one of Lawton and Susie's grandkids over here playing the piano Sunday morning, was Vicky as she was playing. Listen, when our kids want to do something to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to encourage them, we need to help them, and tell them to give God their very best. Amen. Very best. Many times, planning is the key to success. Planning to succeed. Planning not to get into trouble. Planning to keep the faith. Planning to be true to God. God's given us a lot of gifts. A lot of gifts. And Jesus said that when much is given, much is required. If I handed you some arrows that represented you helping the poor. Oh, come on. Some of you hadn't even tapped. Or praying for the sick. Or visiting those that are in prison. Those are the attributes of the kingdom of Christ according to Jesus. What if you were handed the arrows and they represented your diligence in the searching through God's holy word, for promises, and for power. What if I gave you the arrows and they represented how eager you are to worship the Lord, how enthusiastic you are to go to church and study God's holy word and listen to preaching? If it represented how enthusiastic you are to sing praises unto God. People, let's look with eyes of self-examination. Let's notice something. If Elisha was wroth, if he was angry, if he was upset with the lack of enthusiasm of this king, who was a wayward king, probably not even a saved king, I assure you, if Jesus looks down off his lofty throne at us and sees our lack of enthusiasm to do what he has told us to do, he is probably upset with us if we're showing no effort. When our zeal diminishes, I'll tell you the reason it diminishes. We start becoming thermometers rather than thermostats. We want to check everybody else's temperature. Oh, come on. We'll stick that thing in everybody's mouth and check their spirituality. Check what they're doing. See how zealous they are. See what kind of contribution they're making to the Lord. That's not how we're supposed to be. We're to be a thermostat. We're to get in there and we are to work and we are to labor no matter what, under all conditions. And if through that enthusiasm and working through those hardships and difficulties and trials and troubles and obstacles, we become a thermostat and we turn up the heat around people that are around us, and they see that we're headstrong about this thing. We're going to beat on the ground and we're going to show that we love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our hearts. We're going to worship the Lord. There's revivals out there yet to be experienced, and we're not going to give up. Not going to give up. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 23, all through the last part of Matthew chapter 25, Jesus made it very plain that he increases our ability based upon our investment and proving our ability to handle what he has already given us. The Lord said unto him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I will make you ruler over many things." Listen, no matter what you have, how small it is, you need to be faithful in it. Whatever you're supposed to be doing in the cause of Jesus Christ, be faithful in it. Is if he gives you many things or a few things, whatever it is, be diligent, be enthusiastic. You know, we say enthusiastic. God's name in the Greek is theos. Do you notice what's right in the middle of enthusiastic? In theos. Listen, everybody that's really in God should be enthusiastic. Word gets its origin from that. So God's given us gifts. How are we going to use those gifts? He told the people at Corinth. He said, one person planted, another person watered. When I think about that verse there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you know, I'm thinking about planting. Remember what Jesus said about the man that grabs hold of the plow and plows? Huh? Yeah. If any man put his hands to the plow and looks back, he is not worthy of the kingdom of God. Isn't that what he said? That's what he said. Jesus expects us to lay hold of the plow. What he has given us to do, the labor that he's given us to do in the cause of Jesus Christ, he expects us to lay our hands upon it and diligently do it without ever looking back. Brother Edward Kirk, deacon at Landmark, where I used to pastor in Memphis, he used to talk about that old mule, his dad getting him out here there when he was a little bitty boy. Brother Edward wasn't real stout anyway, but he used to tell about him, his dad putting him out there in that plow, out there in that field with that plow, and that mule, and those reins. And he said, you know, I was a little boy, and many times that plow hit a rock and it knocked me down. I had to get back up and knock me down. He said, I could barely hang on to that plow. You know, I just wear blisters on my hands from just hanging on to that plow. But he knew that his father expected him to hang on and do that work. And I'm telling you tonight, God expects us, our Heavenly Father to hang on and do the work. We may get knocked down a time or two. It may seem like a work that's harder than we can accomplish. It may seem as though there are times that we don't have the strength or the energy. But if God ever gives us the heirs and He says, show me what kind of diligence you're going to put into this work, we better beat it more than thrice. Amen. We need to show the world that we're serious about the cause of Jesus Christ. We're serious about the gospel. We're serious about prayer. We're serious about being Holy Spirit filled. We're serious about the church and its doctrines. We're serious about the victory that needs to come in Christ Jesus. We want to see souls saved, and we need to be diligent about it. So, if you were handed tonight, and I'm done, arrows, and they symbolized arrows of your life, and you were asked tonight to show me by beating on the ground the amount of effort you're going to put in to serving the Lord, how many times would you hit the ground? Let me ask you this. Would there be a time that you might stay? Or stop? Stay in the King James. Are you going to stop? Are we going to stop? Are you ever going to stop? Are you going to be, as we sung a few moments ago, a friend till the very end? I'll be a friend to Jesus. To the very, very end. I think when it comes to our character, when it comes to our home, I know some of you are good parents. I believe that with all of my heart. I think if you've already demonstrated to me, not with arrows, but in the way that you have tried to parent your children, you're serious about this thing. You're serious about raising kids up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You're serious about teaching them about purity and holiness and the things of God. And I praise you for that. We need to show the world that we're serious about the cause of Christ. We need to show this community around here. We're not just any old church. Huh? And you know, the way they're going to see that is by our sincerity, our purity, our trueness of heart. They're going to have to see it in our diligence, in our efforts. When we come together to worship, you know, if I said, okay, everybody beat on the front of the pew and show me how diligent you're going to worship next Sunday. Just show me, symbolically, just show me what kind of effort you're going to put into worship next Sunday. How hard would you tap on that front pew? I think what Elisha did, you know, shooting that arrow out that window, it was to show him something. Beating those arrows on the ground was to get that image in his head, or show him himself, Joash, the true effort he was going to put into advancing the people of Israel in victory. How many times would we beat the ground? I'll say this. The man in this reading lesson should have beat the ground more times than what he did. If we were beating the front of the pew to demonstrate our faithfulness, our zeal, our commitment toward revival, our efforts toward prayer and worship and singing and the cause of Jesus Christ, after we got through, I think the same would be said toward us. We should have beat the pew more times than what we did.